This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Wang Xiaoning. 7:45 a.m. Friday, the 4th of December. And right now, Parliament is in the midst of debating Budget 2021 at the committee stage, with each ministry's budget allocation coming under scrutiny. And we're putting the spotlight today on the budget allocation for the Ministry of Health ahead of the committee debates in order to get a better understanding of how the healthcare sector is being funded for the coming year.
Yep, the government has tabled a budget amounting about just under 32 billion ringgit, which the finance minister, Tengku Dato' Sri Zaful, touts as being 4.3% higher than 2019. But the opposition says that the figure is misleading, given that the budget for many health services as well as public health initiatives has been cut. Where are the battle lines being drawn in terms of opposition support for the Ministry of Budget? That's a question we're trying to answer right now, actually.
Indeed, and joining us to discuss this is Dato' Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, MP for Kuala Selangor, and of course, former Minister of Health. Dr. Zul, thank you so much for speaking with us today. So can you help us understand the numbers? I mean, how much is the government actually allocating for the COVID-19 response under Budget 2021 out of that headline number of 31.9 billion ringgit for the overall ministry? And in your view, is this a sufficient sum?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. All right, very quickly, you must differentiate between what has been allocated for COVID-19 fund, which is over and above what is in the budget, yeah? And that is actually around what has been, you know, about 1.8 billion that has been spent in the MCOs and the public health needs, whatever. But insofar as the budget proper is concerned, yeah, it is, as you said, an expenditure of 31.9 billion, but an increase of 4.23 billion. There were earlier misunderstanding of the reason why they have put, you know, development budget into the operational into development and whatnot. I think we will address that on Thursday next week. Yeah. But what I'm most concerned here is not so much of percentage or rather the amount. This is an opportunity for us to really even overspend. Remember the Auditor General's comment of underfunded, understaffed, overstretched health system? This is the best time for us to spend. And just not for COVID or infectious disease, but for the entire health system, which essentially you must understand that beyond COVID, you'll have premature deaths, you know, insofar as cardiovascular diseases, cancer, chronic respiratory diseases, and diabetes. And these are the greater killer in Malaysia. So I don't have to go into that in greater detail. But let me say this, that even the spending of increase of 4.23%, it only constitutes 2% of the GDP. And together with the private sector, we are still stuck with 4% of GDP. I'm going for these big numbers or macro numbers because essentially when I came in into 22 months ago, I vowed to increase health expenditure or health allocation in the course of 5 years to about somewhere, you know, a credible 5% of GDP. And we are struggling with only 2%. And this is the best time for us to spend on health, but still we are stuck with only 4.3% increase, which actually, if you take, if you deduct over the contract workers of 2 billion, actually, by way of percentage, we spent more into 2020. That is 10.3% of the budget allocation. But this year is only 9.9%. And you take away that contract workers of 2 billion, it is only about 9.4%. So putting in perspective of numbers and percentage, you'll see where the Malaysian Health Coalition, including the Academy of Medicine Malaysia, why they are criticizing this budget. It's not so much of, you know, those numbers that they have increased by 4.23%. It is, in fact, the opportunity, a missed opportunity to really, you know, enhance our healthcare system. And this is both COVID and non-COVID.
All right, Doctor, on that note, though, you know, I understand what you're trying to say. This is a good time to just kitchen sink it, spend money on the healthcare sector and get everything that you need, not just for COVID, but beyond. But does overspending on the healthcare sector now mean we take funds away from other areas? Or are you advocating spending on all areas as well? Well, what is that? What's the rest? What's the
There's
view here?
Always this thing called opportunity cost, right? What you spend on A, you can't spend on B. While we are arguably, you know, correct in the sense of spending on COVID, right? There's been huge spending on COVID, I tell you, 475 million on supply and reagent consumables, 280 million on PPEs, and on the 550 million on the national, the NATMA, and what others. But what I'm saying here is, beside all this is an opportunity for us to enhance healthcare, both in hospital-based and public healthcare, population health management. And it is here that when you look overall, you don't see that, you know, that commitment to spend more on enhancing, just not on infectious disease, but as well, infectious disease are also, not, beside COVID, is tuberculosis coming back, you know, dengue and whatnot. But more importantly, as I said, the NCDs, the non-communicable diseases, which is the real cause of premature death in Malaysia.
But for now, I think, Dr. Zul, I think all eyes are on the prospect of a COVID-19 vaccine. And True. The government's allocated 3 billion ringgit for the procurement of these vaccines. So in your opinion, I mean, how should this money be spent? So what kind of costs should this figure cover? And are we likely to see additional funds required for any vaccination programs?
Well, funding-wise, that 3 billion is arguably, you know, quite okay. But more importantly is for us to be sure as to how to approach this. You know, just very quickly, we have now 6 vaccines that are approved for early use in China, 3, Russia, 2, and UAE, 1. Yeah, and the 7th is in in the UK, the AstraZeneca, Oxford clinical trials. So now we have 4 vaccine candidates having an efficacy of more than 90%. That is Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Sputnik Russian vaccine. Mm-hmm. But I must say that I'm quite disappointed that Malaysia only invested in COVAX for the first 10% of our population instead of 20% or more. This Global Vaccine Initiative, WHO, is our best bet to land a safe and efficacious vaccines from its portfolio of 18 candidate vaccines. You know, instead, what we did, you know, the government has a side deal with Pfizer, 20%, which would incur large extra costs in terms of its Antarctica kind of refrigeration, you know, colder than winter in Antarctic. And that would surely be a strain on us, and as well, you know, the Sinopharm thing, and that undisclosed amount has been negotiated. So I would insist that MOF do direct deal with COVAX and vaccine manufacturers and eliminate the parasitic middlemen who would coup exorbitant profits and plunder our paltry fiscal reserves there are. So, you know, this is what I thought that we must look at it, you know, seriously, and how do we manage moving forward. It's just not about the 3 billion, but as to how we spend that.
All right. But let's take a look at Selangor, though, Dato. Can you provide us an update on the measures being taken to address COVID-19 situation in Selangor right now, which is, I mean, becoming a bit more concerning as time goes on? It has the second highest number of cases in the country at present. How are the federal and state government mechanisms cooperating on this front? Could you shine some light here?
Yeah, I must say that admittedly, we are struggling. And I must also admit that, that we have failed. The CMCO has definitely, you know, admittedly failed. And moving forward, you know, we in SDFC, we as a team, we would want to, you know, put forward some new novel approaches of going beyond just, you know, those kind of conditional lockdown, which is having a direct, you know, negative impact on our economy, on lives, on livelihood, on mental health, whatever. So we have just now, you know, presented to the Chief Minister to try to secure Chief Minister's endorsement. And he already endorsed what we call as the preventing outbreak on ignition site. We call it as POIS, yeah? We have already gotten buy-in from industries in a tripartite partnership between government, and the employers or the stakeholders, and as well NGOs like MRA and Mercy coming to help us. So this is a new approach, though, where we get to really do enhanced public health measures by employers, early detection testing regime based on frequent and rapid testing, and as well finally to give them more health education among workers. So this is what we call the TTIS rapid response, the test, trace, isolate, support, you know,
yes,
using our smart triage mass sampling, and particularly over using RTKAG, though. So rather than the RT-PCR, the gold standard.
Dr. Zoll, I mean, very quickly, we have about a minute left to go, but why do you say that the CMCO has failed? Because, I mean, wasn't the point of the CMCO to prevent community spread, which is essentially, which is what, though, so far, it seems like the government has been able to do, because right now...
Particularly Selangor, you see that Selangor, you know, numbers are rising, going by all these metrics and indicators. That's the reason why we wanted a more targeted, enhanced the MCO kind of thing, and more preemptive and proactive rather than reactive. So this is why we suggested this tripartite program, addressing employers, addressing hotspot like, you know, workers, residents, dormitories and whatnot. So this is what we hope that we will target industries, factories, construction workers with high workforce numbers. This is why it's so important for us to do it, you know, not more of the same thing, but to do it differently. And this is what we have suggested to the federal and MOH.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Zoll. That was Dasar Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, former Minister of Health as well as MP for Kuala Selangor. Shaning, what were some of your takeaways from that conversation with Dr. Zoll?
I think he's brought up a very interesting point. It's not so much how much is being spent in terms of that 3 billion with regards to COVID-19 vaccines, but how transparent are we in the approach, right? And are we removing the, and in his words, I repeat, parasitic middlemen, so that, of course, you know, all the rakyat get the full $3 billion that we don't overpay for anything. But I think also the question now is, how are we going to distribute the vaccine? Do we have everything in place? Do we have the logistics arrangements out, kind of decided, discussed, arranged with all the different stakeholders involved? I think that's the next step of the conversation. And I hope the MOH is starting to, I'm sure they have already started planning for this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about the vaccine, he did point out that, as you pointed out as well, Shaoning, the multitude of arrangements that are being made, right? You're dealing with COVAX, but at the same time, you make a deal with Pfizer. Maybe there's the streamlining that could be done there. But I guess we're seeing this with a lot of governments, right? Everyone's just trying to secure, making sure their name is on the list so that they can get a vaccine as soon as possible. I think we had a conversation, I can't remember with who, earlier this week or was it last week, that Canada had 9 vaccine candidates or had made 9 deals or something along those lines. Basically, every government is trying to secure as much as they can and maybe sell off the others once they don't need it.
Yeah, I think it's also just hedging your bets, right? Because you're not sure which vaccine may come through first, which vaccine may be easier for you to get your hands on. Because as we've discussed, and you know what Dr. Zoll calls it, the Pfizer vaccine requires extreme levels of cold in order for it to be stored properly.
I think he said Antarctic levels of
winter
cold.
Winter in Antarctic levels of cold. So, you know, is that, but would that be the easiest for us to implement here in Malaysia? Do we have the supply chain logistics to support that? Or would we be better set waiting for one of the other vaccines to be approved? All of these questions are still up in the air. And more transparency on the decision process wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, I think. And we're going to be keeping a close watch on this story as it develops. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, we're bringing you The Breakfast Grill, where Roshan speaks with Tan Bin Ru, CEO of Southeast Asia at One Connect Financial Technology. Be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.